Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your touch. Yeah, just felt it go right through you. I just felt it go right through you. Thank you, Lord. Take a deep breath. Yeah, the pain goes. How about that? How's the pain? How's the pain? Do you feel anything still? Huh? You still feel it when you breathe? So was it there when you came out? It was there when? This morning when you woke up. And when last did you feel it? Just this morning. Okay, you won't feel it again. Father, thank you for your mighty hand upon her. Yeah. That's it. Come upon you strong. Just take it in. Don't worry about what you feel, but just receive it. Receive it, yeah. Receive it. I could feel it come and like almost you pushing back. Yeah. But just take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Take it all in. And from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you are made whole. You are made whole. You are made whole. That's it. Holy Spirit, let it get stronger. Increase that voltage now upon her. Yeah. Increase the voltage now upon her. Yeah. That's it. It's gotten stronger and stronger. And stronger and stronger. Yeah. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah. Yeah, it's increasing. So I can feel it. It's increasing. Just take it all in. Thank you. Thank you. What's your chest pain? Okay. How is that pain now? Huh? Okay. 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 Okay, so take a deep breath. Everybody else, just receive right where you are. Receive right where you are. Yeah. Receive it right where you are. The power of God is flowing right through the room. Receive it right where you are. And begin to give him thanks and praise. Begin to give him thanks and praise for it. Give him thanks and praise for it. If there was something you couldn't do before, try to do it now. Try to do it now. You felt a pain in your hip, somebody. But move that hip. Move that hip. Move that hip. If it was a pain around your hip region, move that hip. That pain goes. Or it's gone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sister Books, you felt like you climbed higher. Abby, you felt like you something broke through this morning. It's like climbing a ladder. That's the way I perceive it. And it's like, you know, that's the way I walk with God is. It's like climbing higher and higher and higher. And you felt, I just shot up again. Yeah. 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 That's exactly what happened. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's how our walk is with God. We go higher and higher and higher. We should be going higher and higher and higher. Yeah. And the Lord is happy about it. You push through, you got it. And he's happy about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give him praise a little bit more. Let's exalt him and thank him. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You're the Lamb upon the throne. And all to you we lift our voice to say, you are the Lamb upon. For you. of everyone who stood up. If whatever you stood up for, you could sense a change already, just wave at me. If whatever was wrong with you and you could sense a change already, wave at me. If you couldn't and you want hands laid upon you, come. I just felt God, and it brought back a scripture. Jesus was praying for a blind man, laid hands upon him. The man said, "I see men as trees." And he prayed for him again. So if you feel, "Oh, no, I didn't get it as I wanted," and you want hands laid upon you, just come quickly. Come quickly. I don't have so much time. But if you know that, okay, I already received that, and I know, then stay right where you are. So I don't see anybody coming out. Or is there? Am I too much in a hurry? Is there anybody? Okay, so everybody's fine. Everybody's healed. Ah, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Let's exalt him. Let's appreciate him. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Well, let me say, half-time renewal is coming. And they don't allow me to give announcement this day, so let me see my mind. Amen. And my mind is that we need to take that seriously, prepare for it seriously. Can I have an amen? Invite people seriously. Hallelujah. But personally, also prepare for it. Okay, prepare for it. Do whatever you can. If you can take a leave, take a leave. Okay? What's the purpose of that time? It's for us to draw back a little bit. Luke chapter 5, verse 15, 16 says, many people came to Jesus to hear and to be healed. Verse 15. And then verse 16 says, therefore, he often withdrew himself into the wilderness and there prayed. So very often, because of how busy he was, he often found time to draw back a little bit and pray. You understand? And pray. Can I hear you say, and pray? So those 4 days, you know, from Thursday the 9th to Sunday the 10th, take them as a time of drawing back a little bit to pray a little bit more. Okay? That's why I said, if you need to take a leave, if you need to rearrange business and what have you, do so. Okay, it's well worth the time to just say, and it's beyond the meeting times alone. It's beyond the evening meetings, 5:30 p.m., you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But take those times to say, I'm going to even wait on God. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. Very often, it's shocking how believers have issues. You know, we have issues we're dealing with. We have issues we're worried about. But we don't take out the time, if you know what I mean. We don't take out the extra time to say, I'm going to wait on God. And yet we want answers. Yet we want things to change. Yet we want, you know, a revolution. So what we're saying is, especially in the Lagos busy life, take out the time. Take out a long weekend, you know, to wait on God. So take it out. If you can fast, it's not compulsory, but if you can fast, if you're just going to say, all I'm going to do is I'm going to miss my breakfast on each of those days, I'm going to pray a little bit more than I used to. I used to pray 15 minutes in the morning. I'm going to make it 30 minutes on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, I'm going to go a little extra mile, and if you wish, write down certain things. These are the issues on my mind. And in that time, I'm seeking clarity. You know, from God. I'm seeking wisdom from God. Yeah, and that's what the purpose of that weekend is. What happens in the services are just like icing on a cake. You know, so the cake has been made. It's just the icing that comes on top. So while you are praying and waiting on God, you'll find out that many things become clearer, maybe when the preacher is preaching and all of that. All of those interactions, there'll be a lot more. You know, you can say something and what is being heard is different. You know, but God just used those particular words to stir something new. And that's what we expect will happen. Amen. At the halftime renewal. So please do everything you can. You know, everything you can. Not just to be at the meetings and to invite people to the meetings, but do everything you can to maximize that those days. The halftime renewal is actually the days. Okay? It's not just the meeting times. It's all of those days. It's to say, dedicate a few days in the middle of the year, you know, to just wait on God again, to slow down a little bit again. You know, very often also, you know what happens to us is that we are too busy in our minds. Not just physically, we are busy in our minds. I've gone to bed before and I woke up tired. You know, I think somebody knows what I'm talking about. I went to bed, I woke up tired. I was solving a problem all through my sleep. I'm serious, my mind was working throughout. I was solving the problem, I was like, okay, do this, no, I'll do this, and I was sleeping. So when I woke up, I did not sleep, but I slept. If you know what I mean. I mean, medically, we talk about REM sleep and non-REM sleep, so we talk about that, is basically what is good sleep, what is bad sleep, so we look at quality of sleep. Sleeping is not just lying on the bed and closing your eyes. We look at quality of sleep, and sometimes when somebody is having issues, you actually put monitors on the person's body in order to see the quality of that guy's sleep. And there are people that don't sleep. Are you still there? They don't sleep. When you monitor, when you see what the readings are, this guy is just closing his eyes. That's what he did. He just closed his eyes. He did not sleep. He has real problems. And like somebody said, money can buy you a waterbed, but can't buy you sleep. Are you there? Never mind. Money answers all things. There are some things that money can't buy. Hallelujah. That you can only get from God. Amen. How many people got what I'm trying to say? Okay. How many people are going to take steps to dedicate the 4 days and just say, these 4 days, I'm going to wait on God. It starts from your house, not just in the service. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Have you found it? I'm going to read verses 7 to 9. It says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. So while doing anything good, for in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So primarily, I'm talking about, you know, why Christianity doesn't work. And that's the short form of my conversation in my head with God, which is, why doesn't Christianity seem to work in or work for, you know, some people or some people sometimes or all of the times, wish. How come it looks like it makes no difference? Are you still hearing me? How come that I can be a Christian and it looks like there is no difference in my work, no difference in my life, no difference in my home, no difference in my lifestyle, no difference in... How come? But I'm a believer and I love the Lord, really. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm only sharing with you out of my conversation some weeks ago with God. But I was just thinking, how come? You know, and then this is basically the way he began to speak to my heart that I'm laying out before you. You know, it looks like we have a number of people, you know, that despite being saved, a struggle. You are just as sick as everybody else is sick. Just as hopeless or feel hopeless, like everybody else feels hopeless. You are as fearful as the next man to you is just as fearful. And in my honest view, you know, my honest attitude towards God, towards Christianity, towards the Bible, is that if it doesn't work, let's leave it alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes I speak that way and it annoys people around me. You know, I've annoyed family members when I speak that way, because when somebody wants to talk to me about how somebody can do you, I say, look, if they can do me, then Christianity, the Bible is not true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if it says my life is hid with Christ in God, and then you want me to be afraid, I said, then no, don't let us pretend. Are you still there, anybody? You know, yesterday, for instance, I'm just introducing, God will help me this morning. You know, yesterday, for instance, I was having a discussion with my mom, and she began to tell me, you know, that about somebody who, you know, businessman, and she said, oh, they, how do they call it? They pour something on the ground for him. Yorubas will know what I mean. What is dank or lefun? So, in his business endeavors, it means that they set you up, and it's not set up physically. Is that, you know, it buys, it does many things, but part of it is buying land and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, and I said, oh, does he know where all of that came from? Eventually I asked, I said, does he know where all that came from? He said, oh, yes, he knows that it's one of the places he bought land and all that. So apparently they put some jazz, you know, and then this guy must have, as they say, Dasile, you walk on it, you don't know anything is happening. But that was very sick. He couldn't, you know, move his feet and blah, blah, blah. He was swelling up, and he was going to the hospital and all of that. And said eventually somebody came and said, ah, this is what you think is medical. And said, nah, this is not. And took him to my place. You know my place. You know, Ijabu, where I come from. They took him to my place. I said, this is not medical. Let me take you somewhere. So they took him there. And he said, well, he was the one telling my mom, you know, what happened to him. Because she was like, look, I got back. It's unusual. This guy hears I'm home. He will come and see me within a week. And that he just didn't come. You know, and that it's eventually when he came that he was telling her what happened to him. I said, oh, that he was sick, blah, blah, blah. And then this person took him there. And when they took him there, they, you know, said a few things, blah, blah, blah. And the person hit his leg with something. He said, when he hit his leg, cowries dropped from the leg and a ring. My mom said, ah, she said she doesn't know that people still do those things. I said, no, they do. The powers exist, you know. But you know what I did? Because I was reading that this is the way we function. That now she has shared a testimony. You know what I mean? She has shared a testimony. I was like, no, I won't let this be. You understand? Is it true? It is true. What happened is true. And I told her, I said, yeah, oh, sure. People still do all of those things. Such things still exist. They still walk and all of that. I said, but I will tell you that I was also in Ijebu to preach. And then this lady who I slept, and in her sleep, they shot an arrow. Again, you know what I mean? On tell of her. And they shot an arrow at her feet, at her leg, and she woke up and there was a wound right there. So you go to bed, no wound. She woke up, there was a wound. She had the dream that they shot her. She woke up, there was a wound. I said, so those things happen. I said, but while she stayed there in church that day, she was a Christian, then she went to church, blah, blah, blah. She got angry at God. She stopped going to church. But they had a program in that church where I went to preach. And somebody, you know, you take flyers, you go around inviting people. And somebody went to her and invited her. She says, for some reason, she doesn't know why, but she just decided that day she was going to come. And she came. I still remember vividly. I preached on Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was my message. And I finished preaching the message, and I prayed. Believe you me, it's not one of the days that I felt the most anointed ever. No. But I prayed a general prayer, and that wound instantly was healed. And she gave that testimony. That's how come I know. Right there and then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I was trying to do was to kill. Yes, and to kill the impact, possible impact of our story. Which is, Ishuleo. Abi? There's even a saying, they say, Ishu. Barakosikodetu Nigbala. Uh-huh. So that is, the devil is powerful and cannot even be saved. You know. So I just thought, no, I need to kill the impression, the lasting impression this thing can leave. By letting her realize that, yes, it exists, but there is a higher power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, the Christianity is not about dressing up and going to church. And looking nice, and singing, and dancing. Remember what we were talking about, why Christianity doesn't work. That's not what it's about. It's about changing lives in its entirety. That is that he comes in, and he infuses our lives. And our lives as a whole begins to change. In every aspect, it begins to change. You are a very difficult person, you become a nicer person. Can I have an amen? You're a stingy person, you become a better giver. Can I have another amen? Amen. You are a, how do you call it now? You're a very wayward person. You start becoming more pure. That's what Christianity is about. It has the power to change people. That's why Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That word salvation is total change, total deliverance, total rescue from whatever you were or whatever you were bound by. Are you with me? He said, now when we are saved, we are being rescued from the kingdom of darkness. I believe that's Colossians 1:13. He said, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought to the kingdom of God's own dear son. One says we have been delivered from the grip. So there's a grip of darkness that it had on us. But we are delivered from the grip. Hallelujah. And if it is what it is, then why doesn't it seem to work? Sometimes. Are you there? I'll read you a few more translations of Galatians chapter 6. And each one has at least one little turn to it. You know, that makes it, that passes across another nugget of information that you need to take note of. It all fits into what I'm trying to say. I'm struggling to say something. Are you there? There's something on my heart. I'm struggling to get it out. That's why the job of the teacher is difficult. Are you there? And the Bible says that we shouldn't all want to be teachers, he said, because we will receive a higher judgment or a stricter judgment. Because you have something, a message, you have to deliver it. Have you ever been taught by a teacher before who is very brilliant? But when he finishes in class, you don't know what he said. Are you with me? I did postgraduate diploma in child health. So one of my courses was biostatistics. I went through the class. Every time I leave that class, I had to bind depression. You know, because you just ask yourself that, do I know anything? Am I stupid? You know, I had to bind depression. I just bind it. No, I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ. You know, and one of my guys asked me, how is the class? I said, is it that the man doesn't know it? Or he doesn't want us to know it? It's one of the two. Because every time before he ends that class, the place is in turmoil. Ask me, sir, we don't understand. Ask me, sir, we don't understand. Ask me, sir. Then he said, what don't you understand? What don't you understand? Okay, tell me where you stopped. Then he said, sir, when you said this is, okay, from here. Okay, don't worry, we'll continue from the next class. Next class, he starts another topic. Then you do again. I don't understand. So it can be difficult to be a teacher, whether of the word or the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you here? Okay, I'll read you the easy-to-read version. Galatians 6:7, ERV. It says, if you think you can fool God, you're only fooling yourselves. You will harvest what you plant. You will harvest what you plant. If you live to satisfy your sinful self, the harvest you will get from that will be eternal death. But if you live to please the Spirit, your harvest from the Spirit will be eternal life. Did you get that? I said, did you get it? Almost. You can say almost. Okay? Almost is allowed. Hallelujah. If they are trying, they will put up, okay, you put up the ERV. Okay, try the TPT. Okay? It says, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Are you there? Okay. CV. No, I'll skip CV. Amplified Classic, AMPC. Now, hear this carefully, very well. Listen very carefully. It says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. You know, misled means somebody is leading you. Are you hear what I'm saying? Somebody said the Bible is so simple, we have needed help to misunderstand it. So that is being misled. When somebody starts telling you some things don't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can live like this. You can. It doesn't matter. You know, you are still a Christian. Whatever you do is what a Christian does. You're a Christian, so whatever you do is a Christian. Is Christian work. And grace covers it. Are you hearing me? Okay. So do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be snared at. That is, conned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions. Professions means confession, just speaking. Or by his precepts being set aside. I want you to note that. Or by his precepts being set aside. Meaning you cannot set aside God's principles and expect that you can get God's results. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you look in the Bible, there are instructions and there are principles. If you set them aside, you do so to your own peril. You can't get the results that God says you will get if you don't follow those principles. That's what he's trying to say here. Are you with me? Okay. He says he inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only. Can I hear you say that and that only? Is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, that is his lower nature or sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
One says, that's the J.B. Phillips version, says a man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. Meaning that if I see you and I see what you are getting now, or what you are getting, by what you are getting, I mean what is happening to you now. Generally speaking, I can tell the seeds that you sowed before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is a case of fear versus faith. Are you with me? It's a case of hopelessness versus hope. It's a case of sin versus holiness. That is, what you are getting is a reflection of seeds that you are sowing. Seeds that you have sown in the past and seeds that you are perhaps still sowing now. Are you with me? You know, I prayed to God years ago and I said, help me to be simple, you know, in delivery so that anybody and everybody can understand. And I hope that that unction is flowing. You know, years ago, I worked for my dad, ran a plastic factory. And we make plastics. So from your cups to kettles to we made plastics or plastic products. And one of the things you do, of course, you buy plastic, you know, raw plastic that you use. You have a mold, you have the machines, and you only put the mold on the machine, and you are running the plastic through it, and it's molding it and throwing out all of those things in those shapes and whatnot. We used to come to Agidigbi here to get some of the molds and things done. But then at some point, because of cost and what have you, we'll buy not just the pure plastic, but we'll buy recycled plastic. Okay, so we buy recycled plastic. It would have been melted. It's not just plastic. There are companies that will take recycled plastic, they will melt them and produce them in pellets and things. So you buy bags of recycled plastic. That's cheaper than buying the actual original plastic. So we'll mix some of the recycled with some of the original, first-time use plastics. And the idea is that you are saving costs and all of that, but you are also reducing quality. Are you with me? You are reducing quality. So things like strength will be different. Have you ever sat on a plastic chair before and it broke? We're in a meeting and, we're talking about some positions, or if I had a position in that meeting that day. And there was this man who had always wanted that position. And that day, as it became very clear, he spoke passionately, but as it became very clear that he was not going to get it, after standing and speaking, he just sat and the chair went, bwah, and he fell on the floor. It was not karma. It was not. It was just bad plastic. Are you with me? Not that it was God saying that it's not the position. No. It was bad plastic. That's all that happened. Bad plastic. Can I hear you say bad plastic? Now, the idea is this. To do it, it was not wrong to do that. Okay, like I said, it also made the products more affordable. However, you have to be careful in measuring. Okay? Measuring how much of the recycled thing you are adding to the original one. Because it's going to affect what product comes out. If there's a mismatch in quantities, you will have a bad product. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going somewhere else, so don't forget all of that. Again, years ago, I was doing public health. We went to what we call Obadam. For those who are UI people and all of that, or grew up in Ibadan, they might know Obadam. So we went to Obadam. Obadam is in UI. And went to see it's a dam, but it's also where they purify and do all the water and all of that. So we went to Upper Dam, and went to Eleele Water Works. So we looked at the way they do the water purification. It's in several steps. Okay, many things they do, the things they had where they first store it all, and then how they had this one and they had that one and they had that one. And by the time you are done, you've taken care of sediments, you've taken care of microorganisms, bacteria, you've taken care of all of those things, and then that water, after going through that process, is what is sent out to go through all the pipes to people's houses. And I remember somebody then asked, this whole process is very meticulous and good, and the water is great. He said, how come the water that is coming from the public water works, when you get to people's houses, you open it and it's coming out brown? And the man said, that is not our problem. What you see here is what we send out, and we send out pure water, not pure. You know what I mean? Not such a water. He said, we send out water that is pure. He said, but the problem is that very often along the routes, there are breakages and leakages. So there are holes in pipes and things. So all kinds of dirt are going to enter it along the way. By the time you open your tap, you are seeing brown, black, whatever color you wish. Some are totally black because it's even mixing with gutter along the way. Again, the problem is what? A mismatch. Are you there? So why doesn't Christianity work for some? Because there's a mismatch. Because we have inputs, all kinds of inputs into our lives, but there's a mismatch. We are putting in God's word. We are reading our Bibles, hopefully. Can I have an amen? We are reading books. We are listening to messages. We come to Bible school on Sunday morning. We do service after that. We come on Thursday for Bible study. And we do all of that. And yet, we are struggling with the final outcomes. It looks like it's not working. It's because there's a mismatch. Because there are other inputs into our lives. Are you with me? And we are having more sometimes of those other things than we are having of God's word. You know, when I was in secondary school sometimes, I was praying to God. I was desperate. I was struggling with all kinds of sinful desires. And I was desperate. And I said to God, even when I was not saved, it wasn't this difficult. I wasn't struggling. I mean, there was a war going on inside of me. I said, God, I wasn't having these problems when I was not saved. You know the actual truth. The truth is that when I was not saved, everything goes. You understand what I mean? Everything goes. So that I didn't know. There was all kinds of worms and but everything is permitted. When it says, where there is no law, there is no sin. Okay, so because I did not know, I didn't care, so everything was fine. But when I got saved, there is a law of life in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, that immediately was set into place in my heart. And then all of a sudden, I can begin to sense, this is wrong, that thought is bad. So I was now struggling. And I said, God, you know, because this was after a while, I was praying, I was reading my Bible, and I said, God, why does it have to be this difficult? Why do I have to struggle like this? And he said, because you are planting, but you are not weeding. Are you hearing me? You are planting, but you are not weeding. In fact, in some cases, you are planting the weeds too. Are you there? Tap somebody next to you. Say, I know it's not talking about you. Tell them he's just talking about himself. Are you there? So the inputs God is speaking to us, God is, you know, pouring himself into our lives, but we still have other things pouring into our lives. In some cases, those things mean a lot to us. They strike a chord in us much more than even the word that we heard. In some cases, it's about quantities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In some cases, it's about quantities. We need to decide. You know, when 2020 came and the COVID pandemic, blah, blah, was all over the place. I've said it before. At the time, I just told myself, I'm a public health physician, but I don't care. I just told myself, I don't need to care as much as this. So I decided enough of the news. I don't want to know. I know too much. The too much I know is becoming a problem to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I just thought it's a disease. Yeah, shaking out. But the Bible tells us about diseases, and it says himself took my sickness and my disease. So what's the worst that can happen? You catch it and get healed. Are you hearing me? But then to be afraid. And somebody told me. It's in Italy. And he told me, he said, you know, he's actually a Catholic priest. And he said, he realized something. We were just talking. And he said he realized something. That everyone who seemed to be the most careful, they were the ones who caught it and died. He said there was a particular guy who used to be, I think he was the organist or something. He said the guy would be by himself in one corner. Mask, double mask, wear all sorts, wear gloves, wear everything. He said he would not greet. When you finish, it doesn't clean. He said, then when they told him he caught it, and I said, the ones like us who are careless, what's going on? So I said, it's because fear is a door. It opens up a door. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, there's nothing wrong with masks. There's nothing wrong with gloves. There's nothing wrong with using sanitizer. There's nothing wrong with being careful. But there's a thin line between being careful and being fearful. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that is the line. You can only tell that in your heart. When you cross that line, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me? And the person who doesn't wear doesn't mean that he's not fearful. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm just saying to you that the real issue is not to be fearful where that is concerned. Are you still there? So the inputs we are getting, the reason why we're struggling with a holy life, is check the input. Are you still there? Check the inputs. Check the inputs that are coming into your heart. Check the things that are speaking to you, the things that are being planted in your heart. He said, a man's harvest in life depends entirely. Can I hear you say entirely? Entirely on the seeds that he sows. So, I'm struggling with this. Check the seeds that are being sown. Where are they coming from? You know, there are many sources, but I'm going to cone it down to just one thing, which is where it's all going, okay? But there are many sources. You get seeds from people, okay? The people you deal with, you talk to. And sometimes you need to be very wise and know that your life is in danger because of certain companies that you are keeping. Not that the people are evil. I'm not calling them witches and wizards. I'm just saying that the seeds they plant, when you hang around them, are seeds that you struggle with for days. You know, you struggle with for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. You struggle with the seeds that come from those people. They plant a seed. Some will plant a seed of, let's just go and enjoy ourselves and blah, blah, blah. And you find that you are thinking and thinking and thinking about this thing for so long. Then you tell yourself, this person should not be around me. Because this person seems to have an influence on me that when he or she plants the seed, I struggle with it. It seems like he digs the root of my heart well and plants it there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, that's why Corinthians 15:33 talks about do not be deceived. He said evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Now, let me show you something. I was saying earlier when Pastor Enwa was taking Bible school, I said I didn't want to comment because I'll be giving the answer before I preach. Okay? So let me take you to 2 Kings now. Let's see. So Pastor Enwa, I wanted to save it. Amen. So go to 2 Kings rather. Go to 2 Kings. So let's see that. Let's see the mismatch. Okay? Let's see how it works. And sometimes what I've found is that you need a higher, much higher dose of the positive and just a little of the negative. You know, it's like it talks about a little living. Living is the whole lump. A little, just a little. You know what the description in that scripture is talking about when you bake. How many people bake here? How many people bake? Sir, you can bake, sir. Ah, fantastic. Who else can bake? Ah, they are clapping for Grandpa. Yeah, clap again, clap again. Sir, that clap means that you have to bake for us, sir. Yes, that's what it means. You have deprived of. He said, as each man has received a gift, minister it to all. Abi? That's there in the Bible. So we are waiting. Hallelujah. So when you bake and you take the yeast, Abi? You put flour, egg, milk, I'm getting it, sugar, butter, very good. And then, can you imagine if you added the same amount of yeast as flour? We'll be able to feed 5,000. If they will eat it. But that's what he's talking about, that all you put is a little. But that little leavens the whole thing. So you need just a little sometimes of certain things. It's not as much as the positive, as the Bible that you are reading. You have read one chapter today. I mean, when we send out SMS every day is what? An average of three, four chapters a day that you're supposed to read. If I don't think it's up to three chapters. Usually two chapters, like we did today, Old Testament, a number of verses for the New Testament. But let's give it three chapters. Now, those three chapters, sometimes you find yourself that all that happened was 1 5-minute conversation and your whole heart is in turmoil. 5 minutes of conversation with one person. Now, is it possible for me not to be that influenced by people? Sure, or be influenced by information. Don't let me say people. Influenced by what else is coming, the negative that's coming. Definitely, Isaiah 26 verse 3, he said you will keep him in perfect, perfect. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So there's a way I can live, that I can have the perfect peace. You can't disturb it. whether with a tendency to commit sin, whether with with fear, whether with worry, there's a way I can tend my heart that you can't get to me. But I'm just saying to you that we have to watch the mismatch. Not just the word that we take in, not just the time we spend with God, but also the time we spend with other things and other people and the things that they are depositing in us. Because your seed, your harvest in life will depend on the seeds that have been sown in your heart. Are you with me? Proverbs 13 verse 20 says that he that walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Another proverb says, do not go with an angry man. He said, lest you learn his ways. So meaning that if you go with him, you will soon be like him. So there's a way that your companions influence you. Don't tell me that I'm not a teenager. I don't suffer from peer influence. I'm not a teenager. I can't have peer influence. Everybody has peer influence. Are you still there? Everybody has peer influence. The degree to which they influence you is what matters, and it's what is different. But there's still peer influence all the way till you die. Hallelujah. You know, that's also why there are certain things that, good or bad, you know, there are certain things you want to do, and as you're about to do it, somebody shows up and you don't do it. I said good or bad, though. They influence you, isn't it? Sometimes you're about to eat. And the person shows up, then you quickly pack the food and kept it. Yeah? It just influenced you, didn't it? Whether because you didn't want to share, whatever, but you have just been influenced because what you wanted to do at that time was eat. Or you just decided, I want to enjoy the meal. Maybe the person won't even eat even if you offered it. But you feel like, I want to enjoy the meal. You know, we'll need to talk. So let me keep it. But he has just influenced you, hasn't he? Because you wanted to eat. Are you still there? You need to look at things, you know, all kinds, including what you are getting from the media. You know, that's where some of those translations I was reading matter. When it says, if you set aside the principles, the precepts of God, then there will be problems. Okay, there are principles, they are age-long or age-old, and they will forever be consistent. Look at Psalm 101. Let me show you something. Psalm 101. Okay, I'm going to have to wrap it up in 5 minutes. Are you getting something? Psalm 101. So remember, we're talking about why Christianity doesn't work. Okay, and I said in full why it doesn't work sometimes. Okay, so, and in context, if you just take my statement, that's a soundbite. Meaning you can misinterpret what I said. Okay, what I'm trying to say is not that Christianity doesn't work, it works. But what I'm saying is that it doesn't work for all. Why doesn't it work for all? Because of the many different inputs that come into our lives. How those inputs corrupt what is there. Remember Mark chapter 4, when he was talking about the parable of the sower. It's also in Matthew chapter 13. It's also in Luke chapter 8. You remember that parable, and when he spoke, he talked about one group. He said the seed was sown, and it fell where? Among thorns. Okay? And the thorns did what? They choked it. The seed was there, but what else was there is what crippled the seed and ensured that the seed could not produce. Are you still with me? Psalm 101, verse 3. He said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Verse 4. Therefore, a perverse heart shall depart from me. Hallelujah. So, if I don't, let me put that typically as television. Abi? People are looking away now. They are looking away. Let me put it typically as television. Somebody say, set my view, become deeper life pastor. Yes. We all need deeper Christian life. Amen. And he's saying what? I don't set before me anything that is perverse. Once I don't do that, verse 4 says what? I don't set wicked things before my eyes. Once I don't do it, what happens? A perverse heart departs. Are you still there? I'm not going to define anything for you. But I trust that as we say those things, you know what we're talking about. And the Holy Ghost will be touching you and saying, you know which one? You know, I was one morning, just a few days ago, I was actually up in the morning, I'd prayed, I'd read my Bible and all that. And then I grabbed my phone and scrolling through Facebook. And I was watching videos and all kinds of videos. And I would say, okay, I'll stop now. And then the next one. Then I said to myself, but there is an off button on this thing. You know, how can this thing just be controlling me? And it kept me seated. And yet there's off button. I said, this is why they put off button. So that you have power, you can put it off. Can I hear you say there's an off button? On every device. That is radio, TV, phones. And you can switch them off. Are you still there? Okay, so let me try to wrap it up on this. I said something about that on Thursday. That God told me some weeks ago. And he said the battle is not just in your mind. The battle is for your mind. Okay, the battle is not just in... It's not just for our minds. The battle is not just in our minds. The battle is for our minds. The battle is taking place in our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Open there very quickly. Let's look at some of the scriptures clearly. Okay? So the battle is in our minds. Okay? But that's not just all it is. That's not all there is to it. It says, for the weapon of our... Or let's read from verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what are the strongholds? Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And doing what? Bringing every, can I hear you say every? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So our mind is the battlefield. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the Holy Ghost said to me, the battle is not just in our minds. The battle is for our minds. That is that the intention is to control your mind. God wants your mind. So he said to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God wants your mind, but the devil also wants your mind. And why? Because as you think in your heart, as a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. You become how or what you think about. Your life, somebody said, will go in the direction of your predominant thoughts. Your life will go in the direction of your predominant thoughts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're thinking about marital bliss and how to get it and you're, you know, feeding on all of that, your mind will be full of that and acting upon it will come naturally, increasingly so. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what Joshua was, that we read this morning, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, when he says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, fill your mind with it day and night, so that you will observe to do according to all that is written therein, and that way you will make your way prosperous and have good success. But what I want you to realize there is this, is that when you fill your mind with it, it says observing to do is the next natural step. Are you with me? So don't worry too much about, I don't have faith. I can't believe God for this. Worry about making sure that God's word is the predominant thought in your mind. When you worry and you act on that, acting on the word becomes the next natural step. And then your life will flow in that direction. Are you still there? So the battle is not just in the mind. But the battle is for our minds. So it says to us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. One says, out of it comes your life. Guard it with all diligence. And I was studying once, you know, about on that text, and I realized the intention or the description of the word guard your heart. The word guard your heart is the same way that you put a guard at the entrance of a compound or at the door of a building. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when it says guard your heart, it's like put a guard at the entrance of your heart. Why? Because whatever is in there is going to produce your life. So guard what goes in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you put a guard at the gate, the job of the guard is not to send everybody away. Can I have an amen? A secretary at the door of the boss, the job is not to send everybody away. The job is to sieve who goes in. Are you getting what I'm saying? The job is to see whether you are allowed to come in. Do you have an appointment? Does he know you are coming? Is he expecting you? Why are you here to see him? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Try to play that in your mind when you are putting or information is coming. Do you have an appointment with me? What are you coming to do? Are you still there? And by the time you answer some of those questions, you say, no, this visitor should go. This one is not allowed. Are you with me, anybody? So the ultimate battle is that battle for your mind. And you and I have to be exceedingly careful. Exceedingly careful. The Bible we read will not produce the right results if we allow all kinds of inputs. People are sitting, they are listening to advice from talk shows, you know, about how to deal with relationship, how to deal with marriage, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with grief, how to deal, you know, you are taking, that information that you are taking in could very well be dangerous to you. The first and foremost thing that you should take in is, what does God have to say about this? Let's stand on our feet this morning. What does God have to say about this? That should be the most important. That should be the one we are sucking in every moment, every minute. We're sucking it in, sucking it in, sucking it in. Because when that one fills our heart, we will produce. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talked about the fact that in a great house there are many vessels. Vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. Then he goes on, that's verse 20, I believe. Then he goes on and he says, if you purge yourself from these things, you will be a vessel unto honor. Then I thought, wow. So he didn't talk about even the impute. He talked about the things you need to get rid of. And he said, if you get rid of certain things, then you will automatically becoming a vessel unto honor is easy. Take a moment and talk to God this morning. You know, sometimes the impute we have is from culture. Sometimes that impute is from family history. I had a friend who was not in this country. He was married and he would tell his wife, if I enter the house before you, not in this country. So I looked at her and said, okay, married a white woman. But he said, I'm an African man. I'm an African man. See? So sometimes our inputs are from all kinds of things. Culture, background, whatever you might want to call it. Maybe some experience, past experience. Or even somebody's past experience. Somebody tells you, you are doing this, And you swallow what they said. Hook, line, and sinker. That thing doesn't work. I did it. I failed. He didn't pay me, And you never forgot what he said. Even though you knew God was speaking to your heart, you trusted God, you believed God, but just that one conversation, and then you keep replaying it in your mind. So make up your mind this morning and just pray that, God, I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm sorry I've gone a little bit beyond the time this morning, but I believe it's important. I believe that we are getting straight, strong instruction and direction from God. And our Christianity must work. Our Christianity must produce. Our Christianity must have the right fruits. I think Pastor Ewa was talking about that recently, being the example of the believers. We have to be examples. That these are who, this is a sample, ideal sample of a believer. Say to God, God, this morning, I want to be an ideal example. I want people to look at me. I want people to know me and say, wow, it's as good as I met Christ. That person is a fantastic example of who a Christian should be. Let them be able to use you as a prayer point. I want to be like her. I want to be like him. We are saved from drowning, like Peter, when we first start to call to God and say, help, I know I am sinking. Help, I know I'm in trouble. Help, I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Help, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. When there are no pretensions, like Galatians 6:7 says in Amplified. No pretensions. But we go before him and we say, help. I know there's something wrong with me. I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Help me. Help me. Help me to start off on the journey in the right direction and get it right. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word this morning. With that word comes the grace to do. That word is confirmed with power to do, according to all that is written in your word. Thank you, because there's divine enablement. And we know the exact steps to take. We know exactly the customized instructions for each and every one of us. It's clear to us what we need to change, what we need to start doing more, what we need to stop doing. And Lord, thank you, because you make it clearer and clearer to us. And not only that, but you are with us. You will help us to do it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.